Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. In a minute, we'll preview tonight's big battle between Boston and New York, but it's not football or baseball. It's comedy. But first, I'm joined in the studio by All Things Considered host Sasha Pfeiffer. Hi there, Sasha.
Hi, Meghna.
So what's coming up today?
So I want to point out two animal-related stories that stood out to me. One has to do with an Obama speech last night. He talked about how he was referring to too much bureaucracy because if salmon is in, like, saltwater oceans, one department regulates them.
Department of Commerce out in the saltwater.
Exactly.
And Department of Interior in freshwater.
Exactly. So we have a reporter that's actually taken a look at why is that. So you're going to find out why that's so. And also, Meghna, the man who invented the ant farm has died.
Oh, no.
Yes, 20 million of these things have sold since he invented it, and we're going to hear obituary for this man.
Kindergartners everywhere
are sad.
Shed a tear.
Exactly.
I have such fond memories of ant farms.
I know. They're mesmerizing, even for adults.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'll have to definitely tune into that. WBUR's Sasha Pfeiffer, host of All Things Considered, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
New York versus Boston. No, it's not football or baseball. This time, it's a comedy throwdown. It's happening tonight at Nick's Comedy Shop, all part of the second annual Magners Boston Comedy Festival. Earlier, I spoke with two comics who are ready to rumble. Representing Boston is Greg Murphy, born and raised in Weymouth. And making people laugh on behalf of the city of New York is Gary Gulman. I started off by asking Gary, which city's funnier?
Yeah, I mean, I live in New York now, but I grew up in Boston, and I would say a lot of the funniest guys in New York came from Boston, and a lot of the guys who are in New York are not from New York, so it's hard to say because there are some great ones, like a million great ones, but...
Okay, Gary, I gotta stop there because my mind stopped when you said you're representing New York, but you're from the Boston area.
It's completely farcical.
Yeah, so do I call you a traitor or not?
Oh, certainly.
Yeah, you can
certainly
see it, but he's wearing pinstripes right now.
Well,
you've got the New York look going, I've got to say.
If I was as provincial as many of the Bostonians are, then I would never leave the outside of 128 would be my cage. I would never get out of there.
So, when you're doing comedy down in New York, do you tell them I'm actually from Boston?
Very rarely. Very rarely. They're not crazy about us. We're not crazy about them. And when I say we, I mean, who am I talking about?
Yeah,
but I feel like an outsider no matter where I am because I'm also a Jew. In Boston. I actually feel safer in New York as a Jew than I do as a
I heard there are Catholics in
Jew
Boston.
In Boston. Yeah.
A couple, maybe.
Yeah.
All right, Greg, so what kind of comedy do you think works really well for Boston audiences?
Boston's, they're passionate about everything. I mean, sports hits home a lot here. They like to complain. Usually good crowds, usually mad about stuff, so you can be angry with them.
So is it that Boston audiences love hearing you poke fun about ourselves, or is it more like they like hearing you poke fun or talk about what's going on sort of outside the area?
They like local.
They like local.
I don't know, Gary can talk about this. When you come home and you do local stuff, it'll hit way harder than something that's, you know, generic, I think.
Yeah, I will say that. But I think that's also the sort of magic that people think that comedians are magic. That,
yes.
They notice this thing that we've complained about all these years. Look at the magic. But the same thing happens in New York, only it's about subways and cab rides, mm-hmm. whereas here it's about the right now everybody's making fun of the snow. And all
so
the
funny. Snow
and the sports and some people say, well, it's a religion, but I don't know anybody who spends 14 hours on a Sunday in church or it's not a religion. They take it so much more seriously than religion. People are indifferent and ambivalent about their religions, but they are convinced on the Patriots.
Well, I was going to say with the Patriots and how they ended the season, the comedy is almost kind of built in.
Oh, it's actually not even comedic. I had to do
it's
a show
tragic,
20 minutes after they lost to the Jets.
What happened?
It was awful. It was worse than doing a show after a funeral. It just, you couldn't convince them to laugh.
But they're so much happier, I think, when they've lost.
After days,
They love it. When the Patriots were winning, all they were talking about is the Red Sox next season, because that was something to worry about and be concerned about. They're the most cynical people, at least in New York, there's some optimism and some hope and some creativity. I find the Bostonians are just miserable.
They're very mad about it.
Yeah.
And they can't, it's just, mad about what they don't even know what they're mad about.
Yeah. And there's this weird thing going on where that where these macho homophobic men are in love with Brady, but it brings up all kinds of weird feelings that if they dance around how attractive he is and they resent him for being successful with women.
You know, I'm not gay or nothing, but start talking about Tom Brady, starts off normal. Yeah, he's got quite an arm, huh? He's got a wicked strong arm. He's got like a shotgun back there. It's like a rifle, pal. And he's wicked smart in the pocket. You know what I mean? He's got like eyes in the back of his head. He ducks. He's in and out. You know? He's wicked smart. And not for nothing. He's pretty cute, right? Am I wrong? Or is he adorable?
And then when he doesn't do well, he's the worst person on the planet. There's no loyalty. They're just miserable.
This is the only place you'll see a guy with a football shirt on talk about another guy's hair, in a critiquing way.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
So you can do sports. You can talk sports up here in Boston. Are there kinds of jokes that you'd want to try out, but you just don't think you can or should?
No, I've never been afraid not to try anything. No, okay. I mean, I'm not pigeonholing to sports and local stuff because other stuff works. I mean, you can see people leave and that they're doing very well in other places. But there's that crutch here that's tough to break. You go up and you go, oh, that joke didn't work. Oh, how about sports? And go to something that's
everyone's
local.
Awake.
Yeah.
Listening.
How about the cabs in Boston? Like that?
My new favorite feature on TV is the caller ID. You get that? Somebody calls your house, it shows up on TV. Now it's great. Scared the crap out of people the first time it happened. I'm over my parents' house. I'm watching the Red Sox game with my dad. He's sitting in the chair. Middle of the game, I hit last call on my cell phone by accident. My name and number pop up on the screen. My father goes, oh, my God, you won season tickets. Look, there's your name. Call that number.
I hear, Greg, that you actually do a couple of really great impressions.
Mm-hmm. He's the best.
Mostly right. Sports, but, yeah, I do some political. I know a lot of people have talked like our beautiful mayor. Mayor Menino, it's
eloquent.
It's very. It's a code. It's one of seven is the words you pick up.
Okay.
And the one you usually pick up has nothing to do with what he's talking about, so it throws you off for like 4 hours. Like he'll give a speech and be like, "Sir, Basha, we up our drops of Bawash, a Shabas, a Durbus, a Habas, a spaceship." And you go, "Wait, what? He just said spaceship." And you go, "Are we getting NASA or are we being invaded?" But he's a beautiful man.
Mayor Menino, if you're listening to this, we respect you and love you as we always have, and you're invited to come on
the
show.
Let me also say the same.
way to cover your rear end.
Yeah,
I also say the same.
Do you do a Tom Brady impression?
No.
No. I mean, Bill Belichick?
He's just, you know, tough. He's tough to get because there's no real emotion there.
Yeah. It's just kind of robotic.
I take him one step at a time. That's it. It's like it comes from like your throat.
And so who else? So give us another one, but don't tell us who it is first and see if we can guess.
Okay. The Commonwealth of Massachusetts, which I have just been reelected in for the second term, Banana in the Tailpipe. Is ever seen,
I don't know if you know who that is, if you even want to say who that is. Yes, thank you. Maybe it doesn't sound
or
like
is it. Or is it Cartman?
Or is it...
a lot of the kids do Cartman.
That's not my favorite, but yeah.
That was very good.
Yeah.
So, Gary, tell us, why is it? I mean, we're talking about all the great stuff there is to laugh with and laugh about in Boston, but why is it that you actually left?
Oh, because there just isn't a lot of industry here. I realize that there are two Academy Award... well, I don't know if the town got any kind of Academy Award.
Renner.
Best
supporter.
He was great. Yeah. Also in the Hurt Locker.
Yes, very good in that.
I'll also recommend parenthetically the Hurt Locker if you fell for Jeremy Renner. But what is my point? My point is that despite the fact that there were two movies shot here, there isn't a lot of industry here. And also Comedy Central is in New York. Mm-hmm. And just everybody wants a manager and an agent. And there just aren't a lot of Broadway Danny Rose's in Boston, Massachusetts. There aren't many managers or agents representing comedians. So you kind of have to go to New York or L.A. to get that. But Boston is as good a training ground as I've ever come across in the entire country as far as comedians get a lot of stage time, and it's competitive, and people are very original and creative.
I hear that you also used to be a teacher, and you'd actually try out some jokes on your students.
Yeah, I was a substitute teacher, and at the end of the class, usually, or during the class, I would spice up some of the lessons, if you will, with some of my jokes and routines, and it was very helpful because it was hard to get on stage when I was first starting out, but I had this sort of captive audience for 5 hours every day, so that was fun.
And you could actually get them to look up from their phones for a few minutes.
Oh, this was 19. This was 1998.
Let me just point that.
This was 1998. The big problem was still note passing. I cracked down on note passing.
All right, before we go, Greg, I loved your impressions so much. I hear you do some Red Sox impressions as well?
Just the manager, yeah. I actually I had the pleasure of, I don't know if I can say another radio station, but I used to do some work for WEEI.
You absolutely can.
Is that okay?
We listen to sports here as well.
Good, good, good. So I used to do his voice on there all the time. I used to call in, and the guys would know it's not him. But the people would think
so
it was Terry.
So they think they're talking to Terry Franco.
Yes. And I had one instance where Terry was on, and they had me call in, and I started, "Hey, Terry, you know, it's good to hear from you." And I actually had Terry, which is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. He goes, "You know, I don't know who you are, but I was driving to the stadium, and I heard myself on the radio answer a question, and I didn't like the answer." So right there, I'm like, if the guy thinks that he's on the radio, I must sound like him. So that was a claim to fame for me.
All right.
I do Robert Siegel.
I'm working on my
Lakshmi Singh. I have a recurring nightmare that they tell me I'm going to be on Fresh Air with Terry Gross, and Dave Davies is filling in. Not even David Biancooley, who I would be fine with, but Dave Davies of Television Worth Watching.
Yeah, can you do a Robert Siegel for us?
I'm Robert Siegel.
I do it whenever he comes on.
I have recurring Byron Allen nightmares.
I can pronounce Michelle Norris correctly. If I wasn't on NPR right now, I would be listening to NPR right now. So this is the first time I've actually been on a station.
I love impressions where you can only do one thing. One and that's it. Like, yeah, I could only do from Saturday Night Live, Don Pardo. I can only say featuring, and that's it.
So I'm Robert Siegel,
featuring Robert Siegel. There you go. And that's all I can do.
I'm the worst impressionist in the world. I can only say I'm Robert Siegel, which sort of gives it away. Sorry.
I've been talking to Gary Goldman, who is originally from Peabody,
yes,
but representing New York tonight. And Greg Murphy, born and raised in Weymouth, representing Boston.
Yep.
Well, if you want more of what you've just heard right now, you've got to head down to Nick's Comedy Stop for the second annual Magners Boston Comedy Festival. It's at 8:30 p.m. tonight. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming to Radio Boston
today.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
It was an honor and a pleasure.
All right, well, this is no joke. Boston has just declared a snow emergency parking ban starting at 7 o'clock tonight. Again, a snow emergency parking ban starting at 7 o'clock tonight in Boston, and that's because there's another storm on the way. Tomorrow on Radio Boston, we'll have all the news on this latest storm and what feels like an endless series of snowstorms, and we'll also look into whether and where cities are putting all this white stuff. Also, a deeper exploration into the governor's push to hire 1,000 public defenders. That's all tomorrow on Radio Boston. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. Our show is produced by Adam Ragusea, Jessica Alpert, Dan Mazzi, and Rachel Gottbaum. Our intern is Jason Breslow. Jeremy Bernfeld is our web producer. Tim Skog is our technical director. The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin. And I am Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.